Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you very much for giving me this 1 hour with you to discuss some of the major issues of our day, some of the major issues in politics of our day. As you know, we are in a state of, I don't have to tell you what state we're in right now. So thank you very much for being a part. You know, I had a great 4th of July. I hope that you did as well. Had a great 4th of July. The Kingwood Area Democrats, CAD, worked hard this week. We built a float. The first time we got together and built a float to be a part of the parade, to be a part of this democracy. And you know what? It paid off. We won the most traditional float. In the blog post that I have for the show, I made a little video of how we went from pieces of wood to the float, to winning, and to marching in the parade. It's kind of a fun thing, so check it out. I have a link to it in the blog post. Anyway, I spent a lot of time speaking to some of my Tea Party friends from the booth and realized there is a lot of work to be done, folks. It made my Sunday front page article on Daily Coast that much more prescient. I titled that one, Being an American Citizen is Complicated. But the major subject that I want to cover today is the Coffee Party USA member, her name, Mindy Smoke, sent me an article that she wrote after the Hobby Lobby case. Party member, I am just sharing my opinion and voice, Mindy Smoke said, hoping it can provide some thought and idea. So she sent us something. You know, this had been on her mind, and she sent it to us as a member wanting to, you know, just kind of put her piece out there. But suffice it to say, I enjoyed her thoughts and opinions and asked her for permission to post for all to see. She graciously told me that she acceded to us posting it. So please read it, share it. Let us know your thoughts and opinions, and I want to cover that today. But before that, I want to do my reading on the Daily Coast front page. I think it's going to be dropping, I believe, tomorrow at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time on the front page at dailycoast.com. But here goes the reading. I'll do it rather quickly because I really want to read her piece, as her piece is what really most present with what occurred this week and what actually occurred on Thursday as well, but here it goes. Whenever 4th of July rolls around, most Americans wrap themselves in, it is a patriotic gesture that both natives, past immigrants, and current immigrants make. While there are some, specifically those on the right and Tea Partiers, that attempt to wrap themselves in the flag throughout the year, most use the Independence Day celebrations to do so. They do it to honor the country they call home. They do it to honor the country that is their livelihood. This day, however, should be a time of reflection. What does it mean to be an American? Does American citizenship mean the same to everyone? Does everyone mean the same to America? Is America really exceptional? Being America means one lives in the country with the most powerful military. It means living in a country that ultimately controls the world's economy. With that power comes a responsibility that over the last few years were not used wisely. In fact, both the military and the financial sector were instrumental in the unnecessary deaths of thousands and near-world economic collapse. Being an American means bearing the weight of these bad deeds whenever traveling abroad and professing the intrinsic love for this country. Being an American citizen means different things to different people. For many nth generation white Americans, it is a birthright, even as they are blinded from the suffering of the natives whose land was taken, the blacks who were enslaved for profit, and the Chinese and indentured servants whose labor was exploited. For the American natives, one can understand why many feel it is they that are the true Americans and stewards of the land. For blacks, inasmuch as much of the economy was built on their free labor for centuries, they are made to feel a notch less. And for most non-white or non-black Americans, they are still asked, "Where are you from?" Many buy into Alexis de Tocqueville's notion of American exceptionalism. For the masses in America and throughout the world, it just isn't so. For what most Americans learn about America is a reality devoid of perspective. It does not matter what Americans say about America. It matters what others think of America based on America's actions. America was founded by immigrants who came to a foreign land and took it all forcefully. How then can America be exceptional when instead of atoning for said act, it then tries to keep those attempting access to a better life out with politically driven angry mobs, as what is occurring in today's in California and other parts of this country, who are denying these people who are suffering in their own countries access to what others came here to originally, and they suffered the same fate. Being an American citizen is complicated. One is proud of what is attained under the red, white, and blue. Americans have been to the moon. America has a presence throughout the ocean, continents, planets, inner and outer space. One is proud to be in a country capable of projecting ultimate power. Many Americans often feel a sense of superiority when traveling abroad. Yet, it is lacking of humility that may be what really haunts America. For America is not really one nation under God. America is all nations. It is that America comprises the best of all nations that make it great. It is that America still has a grassroots that continues to fight to not make America what it was or is, but what America is to be. So, after all, America cannot be considered exceptional now to many, not even with the Tocqueville's shallow and antiquated definition of exceptionalism. That said, all Americans working together, that mosaic from around the world, just may make it so. That mosaic, that from everyone that really makes what America is, national nation we all talk about. So that room, give that some thought. But the subject at hand today is really about an article written by a Coffee Party member. Her name, I sent an email to her, letting her know that we're featuring her article on the Coffee Party website, and it has actually blown up the website, and that a lot of people seem to like the article, and they're actually reading the article. One of the issues on Facebook is people look at the taglines, and they look at it, and they just kind of comment on just the tagline. Other people comment on the tagline after reading the article. They find the article substantive. Well, it seems like many Coffee Party members and members around the Internet have found her article, talking about Mindy Smoke's article, quite enlightening. So I decided to make that the topic of discussion, and here goes her article. There will be undoubtedly, this is her article. There will undoubtedly be much flurry of activities amongst political bloggers on talk shows, on Facebook, even in the hallways of some companies about the Supreme Court's decision in the Hobby Lobby case. There will be ire and much dissension raised over religious rights, women's rights, abortion, contraception, when can an egg be fertilized, what procedures are specifically involved, what the decision means now, what the decision could mean in the future. Conservatives and liberals will fling insults at each other. Pro-life and pro-choice will get out their messages and galvanize their troops at lightning speed. The whole pro-life versus pro-choice language really irks me. But what is a topic? But that is a topic for another day. There are four main reasons that everyone, regardless of their religious and contraception beliefs, should be terrified by this decision, though. The Supreme Court has said closely held companies and the court system can determine very specific medical procedures they will and will not support. Your healthcare decisions and access are now privy to your company's discretion and potential court proceedings. Privacy in medical conditions and healthcare or care has just become much more limited. For those who think this affects a very small percentage of people, closely held companies make up 90% of companies and employees, 52% of employed Americans. Even Mars Corporation, who employs over 70,000, is a closely held company. SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, may have said their decision is only applicable to the specific procedures involved in the case. However, you can bet that other companies who do not want to cover other types of procedures due to whatever reasons will try to say due to the religious values, they should not be compelled to cover the procedure. Circumcision, blood transfusion, IVF, hysterectomies, vasectomies, and disease treatment. Stem cell therapies, those have been condemned by certain religious groups and factions. Some religious groups even denounce medical intervention at all. They believe God will heal it that tended. What about health coverage for same-sex partners? Companies are not required to cover same-sex partners yet, but as rulings legalizing same-sex marriages continue to gain steam and marriages are legalized, they will have to just the same as any other spouse. Could a company say, I don't religiously believe that some same-sex marriage, so I don't want to support the non-employee partner through healthcare benefits? Folks, I see calls in. I'll be with you guys shortly after reading her excellent piece. What about pregnancy of women who are not named? Sex outside of marriage is a sin in many religions and really expensive to companies to cover as well. It may seem far-fetched to you. However, read the Supreme Court ruling again. The Supreme Court ruled Monday that closely held corporations cannot be forced to pay for their employees' birth control if they have religious objections. Replace birth control with any other medical procedure or benefits I have mentioned above kind of easily slips in there, doesn't it? The decision will open the floodgate to groups and companies to challenge other benefits. The Supreme Court has sanctioned religious discrimination in the application of benefits for closely held companies in America. For the first time ever in the history of the Supreme Court, it has ruled that profit-seeking businesses can hold religious views under federal law. Do you really think special interests will let this stay at just the level of the ruling today? How far can it extend? Let's say a family who practices Hinduism runs a company. They do not believe in taking any medical products that are created from animal byproducts. For example, many people who practice the Hinduism faith will not use insulin that is from animal byproducts. Therefore, the owner may decide they will not support any medicines employees take use that are from animal byproducts. Is that a reasonable religious objection? Who decides? Do they go through a big court battle? What do the employees do in the meantime? Should the company be able to investigate the sources of every medical product they subsidize for their employee? As Justice Ginsburg said, in the court view, RFRA demand accommodations of a for-profit corporation's religious beliefs, no matter the impact that accommodation may have on third parties who do not share the corporation's owner's religious beliefs. Is no accountability standards or regulations that accommodate the decision? What constitutes a religious objection and how can a company prove its religion? Could the two owners of a company one day say they have taken up the Buddhist religion, and since Buddhism prohibits the taking of intoxicating substances and focuses on the importance of spiritual health, they will not support the use of pharmaceutical for depression, but will instead support medications or meditation practices for their employees suffering from depression? Again, as Justice Ginsburg pointed out, religious organizations exist to foster the interests of persons subscribing to the same religions and faith. Not so for profit corporations. Workers who sustain the operations of those corporations commonly are not drawn from one religious community. Indeed, by the law, no religion-based criterion can restrict the workforce of for-profit corporations. Religious nonprofit organizations are required to go through processes, regulations, auditing, and so forth to ensure their compliance with the laws allowing religious exemptions. I guess for-profit companies do not have to do the same. Hobby Lobby has hardly shown their consistency. Probably very few. Are our rights to follow our religious beliefs, to medical privacy, to make up our health decision more important than the owner's religious beliefs? According to the Supreme Court, the owner's religious beliefs trump all. For 52% of working Americans, they should be terrified. What seems so far-fetched is not anymore. Let's be clear. This is about company rights over workers' rights. Finally, I saw on a post someone said, if you owned a company, wouldn't you want to be able to run it by your religious beliefs and not have to compromise them? If I ran a for-profit company, I would want to honor my beliefs and the legal system that was not allowed religious discrimination until now, honor my employees' right to their own religious beliefs, and keep my expectations to a professional manner that attracts the most talented employees, provide a respectful environment, and makes customers feel valued. If you own a for-profit company not founded for religious purposes, your religion is yours. Forcing it on your other 10,000 employees is not what our founding fathers ever intended. It is actually quite the opposite. And I will come to your call right now. I see my friend John is on. John?
Good afternoon, Egberto. How you doing?
All right. Talk to me, John.
Yeah, I just want to, first of all, I want to recommend your show on KPFT. You did an excellent show on Monday that covered this very well. So if anybody wants to hear the initial response, which happened on Monday night, I recommend you go to robertowillies.com and listen to the podcast from the show on Monday. I don't want to repeat a lot of what I said, but, you know, the main thing, and I think you agreed with this, that I would like to try to get across is this is mainly a political decision because there are about 50 other cases in the workload that are coming through the Supreme Court with similar or through the court system with similar ideas and trying to dismantle the ACA. This is a couple of things that I didn't talk about on Monday that I'd like to bring up concerning the case. This is dealing with the sincerity of the employer's religious beliefs, which the Supreme Court really didn't address at all. Now, if you're a nonprofit, you are able to get these. You're able to, you know, essentially do what the Hobby Lobby case also did. And I don't agree with that either. I think if you're a nonprofit, you still should have to follow the rules of the law. So, I mean, essentially, I disagree with that opinion also. But that being said, you know, who is to say whether somebody is sincere in their religious beliefs? They may just be saying this just because it will cost them money, you know, if they cover all of this. And so this could just be a way of financially taking this out. Another thing that the Supreme Court didn't address concerning the case is whether people should be able – the company could opt out of the ACA completely. And this is from the Stephanie Mintzmer article in Mother Jones on earlier, I think it was a couple months ago. It quotes Marty Lederman, a Georgetown law professor. He suggests that the lower courts have misread the contraceptive mandate case by assuming firms such as Hobby Lobby had two choices, provide birth coverage or pay huge fines to affect to violate their religious belief. He argues that while the ACA requires individuals to purchase health insurance, it doesn't require employers to provide it. If companies choose to do so, then the insurance companies must cover contraception without copays. Hobby Lobby and other companies currently suing the Obama administration can resolve their problems by simply jettisoning their health insurance plans and letting their employee purchase coverage through the exchanges. And so, I mean, this is a very relevant point because they could just say, okay, I don't want to deal with this. Get your insurance through the exchanges. And companies like Trader Joe's did do that with their part-time employees, and it helped actually a lot of people get out of what they call job lock. And I know you've talked about this before, to where you want to see employment decoupled from insurance. And so that's what the ACA is helping to do. And so those are a couple points about that. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the Wheaton case that was decided on Thursday. The Wheaton case
terrible.
Is
terrible. You're so right. I'm glad you brought that up, John, because I was going to talk about it, but I'd let you fly with that. That just proved the escalation that this is going to bring. But go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, it says this is actually from Politico. It says the Supreme Court ruled Thursday that Wheaton College doesn't have to abide by the Obamacare contraceptive coverage requirement as long as the Christian school tells the Obama administration that it has a religious objection to providing birth control to its employees and students. The order from a 6-3 court with a scathing dissent may foreshadow the second round of legal battles expected to take place in the Supreme Court later this year. On Monday, the court ruled that Hobby Lobby case, that closely held companies could be exempted from the contraception mandate if their owners had religious objections. Now, these are some quotes from Sonia Sotomayor and her dissent. He says, "Those who are bound by our decisions usually believe that they can take us at our word. Not so today. After expressingly relying on the availability of the religious nonprofit accommodation to hold the contraceptive coverage requirement violates the Religious Freedom Restoration Act as applied to closely held for-profit corporations, the court now, as the dissent in Hobby Lobby feared it might, retreats from that position. Let me be absolutely clear. I do not doubt that Wheaton genuinely believes that signing this self-certification form is contrary to its religious beliefs," she wrote. "But thinking one's religious beliefs are substantially burdened, no matter how sincere or genuine that belief may be, does not make it so." So just to go back on this, they don't even want to fill out the form to essentially go through the process of saying, you know, are you sincere in your beliefs as a nonprofit? They don't even want to do that at all. And so what the Supreme Court has said is, you don't have to fill that out. And, you know, later it's going to go before the court. But, I mean, basically, do you see the Roberts Five changing their decision on this? Very unlikely. And so cases.
I'm curious. Did I hear that wasn't a case. That was just an opinion, right, that they took to the Supreme Court. Is that correct?
I think it's I don't think it was actually before the Supreme Court yet. It's supposed to –
right.
It says this is the foreshadow of the second round of legal battles expecting court next year. So essentially, you know, they don't even have to fill out a form, like I said earlier. And the Supreme Court said, yeah, you don't have to fill out a form. All you got to do is tell the Obama administration that you have a religious objection, and that's it. I mean,
right.
There's no – you know, I mean, like I said, this goes back to the whole point of If people just want to save money, they can do that. But, I mean, what they do will have to deal with, though, is the pushback. And there's already a lot of people who are boycotting Hobby Lobby and who are, you know, saying to boycott all of these other companies. There was a great post on Daily Kos. There are about 50 different cases dealing with this to one degree or another. And, you know, I just believe that this is a way that you can express your opinion financially by boycotting these companies and saying we don't agree with the fact that you don't want to abide by the law, and the fact that the Supreme Court is so politically oriented that they don't really care about, you know, about the precedent, just makes it, you know, more extreme. And so,
John, I tell
that's...
you what, you're correct. You're correct. I was in the 4th of July parade yesterday, and afterwards spoke to a whole lot of people, folks that aren't necessarily Democratic or folks that aren't necessarily liberal, and it's really having an impact on women, because women are, of all stripes, are starting to see themselves in a position of disadvantage now. I mean, a lot of people look at the contraception issue as if it's a religious issue. They don't realize, most importantly, it is an economic issue. But stay with me, John. I have a call at 602 that I need to go to. 602, who do I have the honor to speak with?
Hi, this is Mindy Smoke.
Oh, great. Folks, this is Mindy Smoke Online. Mindy Smoke is the young lady who wrote that great article that I read and I posted at Coffee Party USA and on my blog site. Let me tell you, Mindy, your article is so very well received. It is going hidden some interesting numbers. Tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us how and why you wrote this article.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everyone. Yes, I wrote it really just, I guess, well, because, you know, I was affected by the decision more in terms of not just being a woman, but I really feel I'm an employee and I'm a worker, and, you know, I've been working for years and years and years, and I've been blessed to work for very great companies who I think take very good care of their employees, and I know not everybody has that pleasure or, you know, is able to work for companies that always treat them well. And I just, to me, it wasn't just about being a woman, it was about being an American. And I've always felt religious freedom means you can practice your religion and you don't have to be forced to practice somebody else's. And so that's what really struck me about the case, is that, you know, you shouldn't be forced to practice somebody else's religion. And as a company, there's so many people that work there and so many different viewpoints. Even among Christians, there's different viewpoints, or Buddhists, and whose viewpoint is right. And also the other thing that really bothered me is that there's just really no accountability or regulation with it. What constitutes a religious belief? What constitutes a deeply held or an objection? So I just really felt like it was violating to me what's the core of America, and it's the freedom to be who we want and practice where we want. And that's what really bothered me. And, you know, there's lots of religious organizations that are nonprofit, and I think this isn't fair to them either, because they have certain regulations they have to go through and certain things that they have to do to, you know, to prove that they're complying with the regulations to be a nonprofit religion. And I think that, you know, they go through a lot to maintain who they are, and I don't think it's really fair to say a private company doesn't have to do the same thing, that they can just say I have a religious objection to anything they want. And that's what really kind of struck me and scares me about the decision. So that's
now, let
me
tell you when I got the email with your piece, right? I mean, it is amazing how you expressed a whole lot of what I wanted to say before, because what I find is you were absolutely correct in the beginning of your piece. There was going to be a whole lot of hyperventilating on all sides about the case. They were going to try to put it into only a context on war on women type context, which I think was the biggest push, the biggest political push, sort of a war on women. But I think you expressed a much deeper point when you tell, in effect, telling folks, hey, it's not only women that need to be scared about where this, the direction of where this is going. Everybody needs to be scared on the direction. Is that how is that the real message that you wanted to get across there?
Yes, I think it has the potential to affect everybody in some way or another.
I like the way you brought in the issues of the Buddhist, the way you brought in the issues of somebody who practiced Hindu. I mean, once you step on this particular particular minefield, you really hit some difficult areas because, as you said, insulin can come from animals that some religions may object to. Then again, some people believe that God is the only healer, and as such, well, if you believe that, it gets into a whole can of worms that don't really belong there. So I think it was great the way you captured it in four different tenets within your paper, and that's what I really liked, the way you separated into these are the four major issues that we really should all be looking at. What say you?
Thank you. I very much appreciate it. Yeah, just like I said, I just really felt strongly that it doesn't go with the way the America that I believe in, the way I grew up, about, you know, kind of my parents were very much like, you judge others by how they treat themselves and treat other people, and that's it. There's no other way to judge people, whether it's in their workplace or in their lives or whatever. And so it just really made me feel like the decision was against what I believe in as a person. And those four areas particularly scare me, so that's why I wrote it. But thank you for acknowledging it, Alberta. I really appreciate it.
Well, I mean, like I said, I think it's an article that everybody should read. I mean, most importantly, it is coming from somebody who has it heartfelt. You know, we have a lot of, in the blogosphere and online and so forth, we have a lot of writings from the professionals that are out there, the professional politicos that are doing their thing. I think we have to do more of what we're doing here at Coffee Party and in other places and really get in the voices of the people who these things are materially affecting to articulate what they want to say. Because a lot of times what those people that you're seeing on Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, or whatever, they're articulating these views from some sort of an antiseptic form that really, you know, it is just a whole lot of noise, and that I don't want to really put it all down to noise, but they put it in a fashion that doesn't really mean a whole lot to a whole lot of people, as it would mean coming from somebody like you or from some of our other Coffee Party members or from a John who's out there really being a part of the system. So, I mean, I really appreciate that you actually became a part of this discussion and put yourself out there. And as you can see, you know, your paper is generating a whole lot of activity.
Well, thank you, and you're welcome. And I guess the only other thing I wanted to say is, you know, I'm no religious expert, and so the examples I put in there may not, you know, not to be 100% accurate, but I wanted to put in things that, you know, maybe people just don't think about outside of, you know, it's easy to think, well, this is a Christian issue or a Catholic issue, a Jewish issue. There, like you said earlier, there's a lot more to it. There's so many different beliefs. And the other thing I think that compelled me to try to write something is, you know, I have a 5-year-old daughter, and really in the last couple of years, I've been trying to live by the quote, be the change that you wish to see in the world, so I could be an example for her. And so, you know, when there's things that I just don't feel are right, I feel if I don't lend my voice and get involved, I'm not going to be part of trying to make the world a better place for my daughter. And that's part of, I guess, why I wrote that, is, you know, she's going to go in the working world one day, and I want it to be a place where, as long as she does the best she can and is a, you know, professional and good person and, you know, kind of makes her way in the world, that she's got an equal chance and doesn't have to worry about somebody doesn't like her religion or the color of her skin or the fact that she's a woman or whatever. If she's a hard worker and a good person and she's smart, then I just want her to have an equal chance. And I want everybody to have that equal chance. And that's, I guess, the final reason why I wrote that.
From your lips to my ears to America's ears. I mean, that is so true. Now, I have another caller. Stay with me, Mindy, in case he has something for you. But let's go to 626. 720. Who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Okay, this is Jack Golding. And
Jack Golding, talk to me, my friend.
Yeah. Okay, I have several opinions on that. Darnish, first of all, contraception is not abortion. That's what they're trying to get at. And they're not going to be killing any babies over contraception, if I'm not mistaken. And most people mistake miscarriage for abortion, too. Because I had a third child, okay, I'm 83 years old, and this goes back to 1967, before sex of a child could be determined. And my first son says, well, it's a girl. You can be sure about that, because sex was not determined. I have two boys. And
right.
Third one could have been a boy. So my first son said it could have been a girl. And said, how do you know that? Because sex was not determined. I mean, you couldn't prevent certain things back in the 60s.
Right.
Okay. Now the thing of Hobby, okay.
Hobby Lobby.
Talk about religion now. All right, you want to go? I read through the Supreme Court decision, and I heard about it in the news. And they said, "Oh, everything but that." Okay, the about the Jehovah's Witnesses and that they can't do blood tests or something
blood
like that.
Blood transfusion.
Yeah,
blood transfusion.
And I mean, that's all baloney. I open up a whole can of worms with this religion bit. I say no. Do not.
So then, Jack,
abortion can be considered.
Right.
All that stuff is a waste. Because
exactly.
Most people just don't give a darn about social issues.
Jack,
I can argue that.
I think you pretty much agree with Mindy Smoke, and I think that is so important. Her story is so important. Now, it is interesting that even in our chat room, we have somebody who just says, "I love that woman." So Mindy, your commentary is really getting, you know, everybody that I've gone through so far, both on my site, on the Coffee Party site. It's all great kudos. Now, you have anything to add to that, John? And folks, do remember, the call-in number is 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. Do you have any questions that you'd like to ask Mindy? But, John, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to go back to one thing we talked a little bit about on Monday that Jack just talked about. You know, the argument, this is another thing that the Supreme Court didn't really consider, the actual science of what the argument was. The argument that they were saying was they were opposed to these four items because they caused abortions. And what I'm trying to find the word here, they're I can't find it. But anyway, they're essentially saying that they performed abortion, and I went on a lengthy thing on Monday about how people don't believe that. The scientific community doesn't believe that, and even people in Europe, like the German Catholic Church, once they looked at the evidence here, that they also said that these items they don't have abortion. These aren't abortions. This is birth control. So the actual argument in itself is ridiculous. So you have three different points. You have the non-scientific angle, the fact that they could have not provided health care at all and let their employees to go through the ACA for health insurance. And also, they didn't look at the sincerity of their religious beliefs. One thing I talked about at the end of the show about Santorum, saying that all birth control was bad and was against his religious beliefs. The next day, on Tuesday, what the Supreme Court came out and saying it wasn't just those four items, which were the two IUDs that they previously didn't cover in their health care, their program before the ACA, and the morning after pill and Ella. Those are the four items that they didn't cover. And so they said that all 20 items, all 20 birth control contraceptive items for women are, you know, are essentially part of this. And so they already expanded it the next day. I was just talking about how this could possibly be expanded. And the next day they expanded it to every, you know, every form of women's contraception that could be covered. So, you know, this is really amazing. And I also just want to go back to the point that this is political. And I also want to talk a little bit about an article by Peter Montgomery in the Huffington Post. It says, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito ended the Supreme Court session with a bang, writing the majority opinion in two cases that gave the for-profit corporations the right to make religious liberty claims to evade government regulation and set the stage for fulfillment of a central goal of the right-wing political movement, the destruction of public employee unions. Neither of these decisions was particularly surprising. Samuel Alito is the single most pro-corporate justice and on the most pro-business court since the New Deal. And this is something that was put out. I saw it on Think Progress, where they had all who voted with the Chamber of Commerce, which is the biggest pro-business movement and organization in the country, and Alito was right at the top. Of course, all of the five appointed Republican justices were right around from 72% to 74%, siding with corporations, siding with big business. So it says, still, Alito's 1-2 punch was rather extraordinary milestone for the strategists who have been working for the past 40 years to put family business firmly in the driver's seat of Americans' politics. There's a strong case to be made that it began in earnest the 1971 memo by Lewis Powell, which you've spoken about extensively in many of your shows, who argued that the American businesses were losing public support and called for a massive continuing campaign to wage war on leftist academics, progressive nonprofit groups, and politicians. The memo by Powell, who was later appointed to the Supreme Court via a nomination by Richard Nixon, inspired a few very wealthy men like Adolph Coors, John M. Olin, and Richard Mellenschaeff, who set about creating a series of think tanks, endowed academic chairs, law schools, and right-wing legal groups, including the Federalist Society, which have nurtured Alito's career. Chief among the right-wing's movement's tactics have been building sufficient political power to achieve ideological dominance over the federal judiciary. As activists like Richard Vagary recruited foot soldiers to help win elections for the GOP, the Federal Society built the intellectual foundations for an extreme conservative legal movement that would gain traction when its members won confirmation to the federal bench. That process began in earnest in the Reagan administration and reached new heights during the George W. Bush administration with the ascendance to the Supreme Court of John Roberts and Samuel Alito. And so,
absolutely.
You know, one thing that people need to think about is, how is this going to change, you know? And since this is, you know, primarily, in my opinion, a political decision, I think the only way that this is going to change is if you have political answers for political decisions. And so people should be more involved in politics and should be, you know, making sure that they vote for people that are going to help, elect what I consider, are going to help their cause, which I consider electing Democrats. Because if you look at this, I mean, all the split is always 5-4 between the Republican nominated justices and the Democratic justices. And so how is this going to change?
I want to add to that. It's important. You said electing Democrats. It's not only about electing Democrats. It's electing real progressives that look out for women, that look out for the middle class, for all these different issues. And why that is so important is because, and you know, at Move to Amend, we created a documentary. We made a documentary called Legalize Democracy. And what we showed in that documentary is that if you follow the timeline, what you find is that as populist movements grew to give Americans more rights to their democracy, to give Americans more democracy, the only way to control that then was through, and to control that legally per se, was to do that through the Supreme Court. Why? Because it's the interpreter of the laws created by Congress to be executed by the executive, the president. So if you can't win via the popular vote, if you cannot win via the electorate or those representing the electorate, the next way that you do it is for businesses to sue the government, and this then be resolved within the Supreme Court, which then, in effect, interprets the law to the satisfaction of, course, the oligarchy, however you want to call it, and in so doing, creating new laws from a what? Constitutional perspective. It is a dangerous position that we're in, and your answer is exactly the right answer. People must get engaged. We must get hundreds of thousands, millions more of Mindy smoked out there. Mindy, what say you?
Yes, I think, you know, definitely people need to make their voices heard. They need to, and the most important voice, obviously, is voting. And there's other ways. There's writing in, there's doing letters, there's gathering signatures, there's doing protests. And someone mentioned, you know, boycotting some of their organizations. I actually have eaten foods in the past because I like the more organic natural foods. But they're part of this lawsuit, too. And their owner said he doesn't want it. The government can tell him to, or something like give his employees birth control or Jack Daniels or whatever. He doesn't care. They can't tell him what to do. So he's obviously cloaking his anti-government issues in this religion bill. And so I'm not going to eat foods anymore. There's lots of ways to make your voice heard, you know, voting, writing, doing petitions, doing protests, doing boycotts. All about, you know, living to your beliefs, and I'm not going to eat in foods anymore because he's part of this lawsuit, and he's obviously using religion to try to get out of for his anti-government stance more than really his religious beliefs.
Mindy, I think that is so important. You see, a lot of people feel helpless, and the reality is they are not helpless. I mean, if you want to see how quickly Hobby Lobby, irrespective of Supreme Court justices' decision, the decision is, just boycott that store and you see what happens. Let there be a successful petition on that store, and watch their margins fall. Immediately thereafter, it will be amazing how different they view religion if that were to occur. Another method is to, you know, for folks to simply, I mean, right now we're in difficult employment times. But as the economy improves, people leave the company. Get out of there. Let it be problematic for them to find employees. Or they will find employees as they raise their prices for what I would call the religious premium for working for that company. Because nobody will work for them unless they make the amount of money that they make from these folks lucrative enough that irrespective of what they do healthcare-wise, whoever decides to work for them are better off. Folks, remember, this is a call-in show, 646. A lot of you listening, not many of you call in. 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear your perspective on Mindy Smoke's letter or essay. whatever actually article is, I think, best said. It's really turning quite a bit on the internet at this time. Very important article, very prescient article on what's going on and on how women feel, or not only women, but how we should all feel about that Supreme Court decision, that Hobby Lobby case, and what it actually means. John, you have anything else that you want to say? We're coming close to the end of the show.
Yeah, I want to talk about how it's going to affect in 2014. There's a lot of talk, a lot of pressure is being put on Judge Ginsburg, who, in my opinion, is the best Supreme Court justice, about her retiring, because the possibility that the Republicans could take the Senate, and they wouldn't allow anybody to be confirmed in the last 2 years of Obama's term, which I think is, you know, basically if that happens, that's about 100% chance that is going to happen.
Right.
And so they want her to retire now and get a new, somebody who's a little bit more progressive in the court, just in case that happens. Now, I mean, it's just so ridiculous that we have to come to that point. I mean, if we actually had, you know, like when they were interviewing Roberts, they were actually having somebody that would just, what he talked about was this, is I'm just going to call balls and strikes. In other words, I'm not going to let ideology get in the way. Now, I understand that you can't do that 100%, but what we have here now is the most ideological Supreme Court, the most pro-corporate and pro-business Supreme Court, like they said, prior to the New Deal. I mean, that the New Deal and the people in the 30s, that was a very pro-business court around then also. But, I mean, it's just a shame that people can't, you know, judge a case on its merits, you know. And so that's why if the Republicans do take the Senate, you know, it's all over with. I mean, you know, the only thing the Democrats do have demographics to look forward to, and that is, you know, I'm very hopeful about that. So over the long term and over the medium term, you know, I expect these things to get overturned, just like Plessy versus Ferguson was overturned by Brown versus the Board of Education. But, you know, this is not legitimate at all, and this should be overturned as quickly as possible. And I am very surprised the opinion polls vary quite a bit, but it wasn't like Citizens United. Citizens United was overwhelmingly against the decision, to where now some of the polls are actually majority think that it was a good opinion. I mean, it's very mixed. But I just don't understand it. And Mindy did write an excellent article, so I really think it's great. And I just hope that, you know, people understand that this is not it is very, very political, and this court is not a conservative court, because the conservatives want to maintain the status quo. This Supreme Court, the Roberts Five, really what they want to do is go back to the era of the robber barons, and that's what they're doing. And I think I used the term Pandora's box, I think, around four times on Monday night.
Absolutely.
But I mean, it's happening, you know, in case after case, and
we're going to do something about it. Well, let me get back to Jack Golden. Jack, I'd like you to give me a 15 to 20-second closing statement, and then I'm going to go to Mindy, and then to you, John, and then we're going to close out our hour. So, Jack, you are on the air. Please give me your quick closing statement. 15 seconds, my friend.
Yeah, I can do it in 15 seconds. Okay, I got a slogan here, and it's been blogging to 9 different places, and it's called this. The way to fight extremism is to become a militant moderate. And that's what I am. And I think the term should be used by anybody who is not on a right, extreme right, or extreme left. The extreme left have not been a problem too much, but extreme right has been a dog whistle crowd.
Thank you, Jack, for that moderate. Thank you very much for that prescient statement, senor. Okay, let me go to Mindy. Mindy, why don't you give me a quick closing statement?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you, first of all, for having me on and posting the article. And, you know, I just encourage people to really think about the consequences of a decision like this beyond, you know, just the immediate. Like someone said, it was, you know, they talked about, oh, it's just these four methods. The next day, they said it applied to six other companies. They covered almost all forms of birth control. And, you know, somebody did post on a Facebook thing. They said, oh, it's only these four methods. Women have other methods or they can do other things. And my thing to think about is, what if someone just carried that to one of the four things you needed to save your life or the life of a loved one or to improve their health or improve their quality of life? It's much bigger than just the four pieces of contraceptive that were part of that initial decision. And I just hope people can think of the bigger implications of private companies being able to use religious belief to make policies on how they're going to treat their employees. And thank you for your time.
Mindy, thank you very much for calling in. Thank you very much for that most excellent piece as well. John, give me a quick 30 seconds.
Okay, I just want to talk about what Alito said at a Federalist Society dinner in 2012. He said the Obama administration is promoting a vision of society which the federal government towers over people. Alito's class at Princeton was the last all-male class at the university when Alito was angled for a promotion during the Reagan-Meese Justice Department in 1985. He bragged that he was a proud member of the conservative alumni of Princeton, a group that aggressively fought the university's efforts to diversify its student body by accepting more women and people of color. So, you know, just get out there and, you know, go vote. Voting is the most effective thing. What Mindy said was everything she said was correct. You know, boycott, write, you know, call into shows like this. Just do all you can to express your opinion about how incredibly negative and just how wrong on the merits this decision is. You know, because on the merits, this, you know, what overturning, you know, giving this religious, people saying that religious employers have their religious right to overturn what the government has passed in a law is just so, you know, extreme, and that I can hardly believe it, you know, even though it's been already 5 days. And, you know, it is encouraging, though, that going on Daily Kos, and it's still the main topic that everybody's talking about. And I hope it is for, you know, weeks to come. So, because this is, you know, just extremism taken to the outer limit. And also, this is what we, if somehow, you know, Republicans gain power to where they have the House and the Senate and the presidency, you know, look for the social contract to be eliminated. Look for the safety net to be cut down drastically, if not eliminated. This is just step one. Right now they control the courts, and they're doing these extreme